How have you not seen this?
How have you not seen this? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by guest host and frequent guest of the show, Kamari Stevens.
Hey there, people.
And joined by our guest and also frequent guest of the show, Jackie Manti.
Hi.
And we just watched Django Unchained.
Django!
Yeah.
The most recent Tarantino theatrical release and the last installment in our Tarantino monthly series that we did to tie into this month's Struck Under the Pop Culture mixtape. It's very much a Western, although Tarantino is very publicly stated. No, it's a Southern, which, whatever.
What's the difference?
It takes place in the South. It takes place in Mississippi instead of Tombstone, Arizona, or New Mexico, or whatever.
California.
But, wonderful movie. Fell under a lot of criticism, primarily for its heavy use of the N-word, despite the time period context of it.
Right.
A lot of vocal detractors. Spike Lee.
Really?
One of the more prominent ones. Oh, yeah. Samuel L. Jackson went to bat for the shit out of this one.
No, I mean,
he goes to bat for Tarantino regularly.
I mean, like, well, Spike Lee, and I like Spike Lee, but I think he has, like, a thing about, you know, other people beyond black people handling those.
Yeah.
Because he, or just in general, like when Clint Eastwood came out with the Letters of Iwo Jima or whatever, Western movies, he was like, "Oh, there's no black people, blah blah." So he made Miracle at St. Anna. His like comeback, but it's, I mean, in defense of Clint Eastwood, those movies that he made were based on fact, and then Miracle at St. Anna is just like, you know, black people in the war, but it's like a fictional movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
So wait, why was there was controversy? Because there was too much of...
Yeah, a lot of people...
I think mainly probably the slavery aspect and just that kind of fiction, the fictional depiction of slavery, I think is a... would be my guess into
why, it. Why can't people handle that? Like, I mean, the use of the word made me really uncomfortable. I'm not gonna lie. Like, there were moments where I was cringing because it was so intense and I just could not handle it.
Yeah.
But I think it's appropriate, right?
Because
that's
slaves, nigger, back then.
They
wanted to be like, hey, negro, black boy, come here.
He's an African American.
Watching Django is only, like, as far as, like, the use of the
effort. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you don't sit down and say, oh, 12 Years a Slave. I bet this is a real feel-good movie.
Yeah, nah.
Like, and realistically,
these slave owners are treating these slaves just
that's
so
why,
pleasant.
Yeah.
That's why we still have fucking problems. Because people are like, well, there's too much of the world.
Yeah, no, we gotta fucking confront the shit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The reality of history.
Yeah. And on top of that, like, realistically, the use of the word in this is only slightly more than a regular Scorsese film that's not set during Slave Day. So nobody's like, hey, getting angry at fucking Italians for saying it all the goddamn time.
I mean, people say nigga.
It's
a word. People say nigga, nigger, nigra. They say it. It's a reality. Let's move
on. Well, I thought it was so interesting that I mean, I know it's not a historical film, right? But, like, to hear it in the way that it was probably accurately used at the time, you kind of see the historical perspective of it now, like... You fucking made that word something powerful, you know, like, and it was such a derogatory thing.
Yeah, and the brutality behind it
becomes
much more apparent.
That's crazy to me that people were offended by that.
Yeah, it's, people get stupid about a lot of shit, but, like, it generated controversy for that, as well as it's also been criticized for being overly long and having, like, the false ending and everything. We'll get into that, though. So Kamari and I, obviously, we've seen this, we love this. Jackie,
yeah, I've never seen
how have you not seen this?
Okay, this is why. Tarantino so fucked me up. When I watched Pulp Fiction and saw the man rape scene, so disturbing and so graphic that anytime Tarantino comes out, there's a friend of mine who reviews movies for a living, and I'm like, is there man rape? Because if there's man rape, I cannot go to him. So I won't go see it in the theater because I don't know what to expect. It's probably going to be so violent that it'll... I just am too emotional, and I'll take it, and it'll fuck me up for days. So
yeah,
But it was funny watching this because I'm like, man rape really fucked me up. And then there's people being whipped, and I'm like,
yeah,
well, it's cool. It's slavery. Slavery. Yeah, 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 it's fine. I know about this. Man. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, man, that seems rough.
Oh, no. I mean, I had to imagine it was way rougher for people that had to experience.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Nah, I mean, that's like the way I'm able to be like, all right, this is rough for me, but it's like people
it's have like, to this didn't happen to us, yeah.
Witness this shit, and they had to, like, you know, their psychology was changed, dude, because they had to fucking.
Right.
And one of the reasons I like this movie is a lot of you. The movie, as far as black people are concerned, you mainly just deal with Django, Steven, and Broomhilda, which yeah. is like you mainly
Steven,
but
Samuel
you, but
Jackson.
All the slaves yeah. that are like in the movie, you still get the chance to like at least witness their psychology by just looks. And the ways they just had to deal with stuff. And yeah. I mean, the reality is, it wasn't like these slaves were allowed to be like, yeah, no, master, that's fucked up that you had the dog eat the man. They just had to fucking swallow
just
that shit.
Over, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to live for as long as possible, right. So exactly. I just gotta fucking grin at
it. You see
shit.
The survival coming into it.
Yeah, like, it's like you gotta stomach a lot of shit. And like, the worst is the scene where Django is yelling at the slaves like on their way to Candyland.
Oh, man.
Because like he even says before, he's like, there's nothing worse than a black slaver.
Yep.
Except like a black like...
Well, yeah, it's that that you got the head house,
yeah.
which is a Steven.
Yeah.
Or you got the person that's like also driving the slaves and is just treating them just as shitty as the actual
exactly.
slave owners
and like, yeah, and you see that. Like, and you see the contempt in those guys, like the slaves' faces,
yeah.
the Mandingo fighters.
Right.
And yeah, like that's fucking awful, but it's like for him, for the plan to work so they can save his wife, he has to pretend to be just the worst person in
yeah.
the world.
Mm.
And it's fucked up.
That's heavy. That's
yeah,
a
oh,
heavy
it's a,
movie.
It's a very heavy. It's very visceral. Very, yeah, like the, like I think I saw this movie twice in the theaters with my friend Jake Tyler, and I did, like both times I walked out, I was like, that was a good movie, but like, god damn, like it, yeah, it takes like a psychic toll on you.
Yeah.
And absolutely, it's like watching like 5 episodes of The Wire in a row or
but
something.
You,
like,
one of the things I enjoyed about it, you as a black man, I don't even feel bad saying this. You get the catharsis of seeing like this dude get retribution.
Yeah, the revenge.
Which is
fantasy,
like,
absolutely.
You don't get a lot of like watching 12 Years a Slave in the theaters. It's like
you
walk away.
That.
That shit is fucking just heavy.
Yeah,
you just deal with it. Whereas at least you get to see fucking at least some type of. Some victory.
Yeah,
it's right. very minimal in the grand scheme of things, but it's a victory.
It's something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's very much like a Kill Bill style
yeah.
story
yeah.
set during
right,
slavery.
Right,
yeah. I think it's weird, too, because this film, Will Smith was supposed to be Django originally.
Right, right.
Oh,
and
really?
He, yeah,
okay.
And he ended up dropping out for
why?
Whatever reason. I don't
well,
remember.
Actually,
remember?
I was actually thinking about I think you have to go look it up, but he said that the reason he didn't take it was because Django wasn't the lead. Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I remember reading
the lead.
That.
And I mean, granted, you could take that for whatever it is, but that's the one thing that comes to mind when he said it. But the more I watched this movie, I kind of was like, I've seen, this is like my third time watching Django, I believe.
Yeah.
And the more I look at it, it's like a duo. It's like a buddy flick almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I don't think like Christoph, I mean, the reality is if you want to make this movie as realistic as it could possibly be, where this black man goes into this fucking slave
that's
owner's plantation
yeah.
to try to—he's not infiltrating it by himself.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. He's still top bill.
No,
too.
He's top bill, and then like he drives the story. I mean,
yeah.
like you see him throughout the film, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I mean, he carries it. It's just that his character is so stoic.
Yeah, exactly. Like he doesn't talk a lot
yeah.
at all.
But when he says shit, it's very like just I like the more I've watched it, like. You can say, like, I think Jamie Foxx is a solid actor. I wouldn't say
yeah.
he's, like, super incredible, but he's a solid. And I feel like a lot of, I appreciate just a lot of shit that he did in this. With just looks and the way he was, like, just the way he talked to people and just how he kind of carried
yeah, like
himself.
Yeah, he's very
out.
Practiced.
It's not, it wasn't, like, super big or nothing like that. It was very, like, subtle.
Very restrained.
Yes, very
yeah.
restrained. And it had to be because it's just like, this is, like, fucking, I need to save my wife.
Yeah.
I cannot be off the rails if I'm trying to go in.
He'd
like,
be
he
so
had
controlled.
To walk such a fine line
yeah.
to fucking well, make this happen.
Well, I like it because, Christoph Waltz's character, Dr. King Schultz, and Django, like, over the course of the story, their character personalities completely, like, flip-flop.
Yeah.
Because, like, Schultz starts off like he's very much like confident, like in control, like, and you see him over like kind of his like sympathy for like this terrible stuff he's seeing, like starts to weigh him, and then like you see Django like kind of go from like this naive person, like he wouldn't shoot the guy on the like the leader of the gang in front of the kid, and then like he's sitting there and he's telling him like, nah, go ahead, let your dogs rip your slave apart, like. So yeah, it's interesting to see like those roles like gradually flip, mm-hmm. and then by the end, like Django single-handedly kills like 40 guys in the space of a day, like at this plantation. So it's very interesting to see that dynamic like gradually switch over the course mm-hmm. of the movie.
Gotta get the murdering people, man.
Oh yeah, get to it.
And but, I mean, like you see Christoph, him being a foreigner, him really by the time they're like all the way in Candyland, really grasping the weight of like what the fuck this shit is.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's a scene in there where when they're during the dog eating the man scene,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
And Kenny's like, "Are you're familiar with this?" And he's like, Zango's like, "Yeah, I like Christoph is squirming and
right.
he's like, y'all, he's not from here. He's not used to how Americans are."
Yes, that's one of my favorite fucking lines.
And he's like, "I know." Like
they close into his eyes too. Like it's all in his eyes. Like he's fucking seen that shit.
He's like,
yeah.
I'm aware of how terrible you white people.
Yeah, yeah, he knows.
You don't gotta.
He's seen the face of America for what it really fucking is.
Yeah,
and it's awful.
Dark, man.
I mentioned the Will Smith thing. Because I think it's interesting, especially towards the end of the movie, Django's outfit is so similar to Will Smith's.
Oh, yeah! Oh, that is! Oh, that's fucking...
His entire wardrobe right down to the sunglasses.
I didn't even think about that shit.
And it's weird, because, like...
Oh, fuck, because you got the lighthearted-ass Wild Wild West
yeah.
movie.
Right. Well, and there's, like, they try and slip, like, some serious moments into Wild Wild West, which is weird, is what made me think of it, because... Because Django is pre-Civil War, and Wild Wild West is, like, just after the Civil War ends.
Okay.
And there are moments where, like, Will Smith's character, James West, like, he addresses, like, slavery and, like, the fact that, like, even though he's living as a free man, like, racism
right.
obviously wasn't solved by the Civil
oh,
War.
No.
So, like, there's, like...
Is it solved yet?
No.
Well, yeah, absolutely not. But certainly, definitely less so.
Trust me.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's so, like, it was weird seeing, like, such a silly movie where, like, a Kevin Kline in drag is somehow supposed to be, like, one of the, like, the best punchline they could come up with. And it's just a terrible movie, but then, like, you have James West, like, confronting, like, Confederate generals, like, as they're dying, and, like, just having this, like, monologue with, like, the evils of slavery and all this. And it was, like, people know, like, the kids are coming to watch this movie, right? I'm not saying don't confront these issues with art, because, like, it's kind of what art's for anyway.
Right.
But, like, it's weird to see it in a movie like Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
And then you compare that to this. This didn't have a giant steampunk spider.
No.
So this one a little bit more credible than that.
Right.
But yeah, then
but yeah,
we'd
no,
like
no,
to
the
see
fucking,
the fashion
yeah,
cues.
The fashion.
Yeah,
so like, yeah, I never thought I would.
Do you think
good
that was on
Burgundy.
Purpose?
Part of me wants to think so, but like I can't. Like
I don't even think. Not even like in a shot sense, but just like a little wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, that's the weird thing, too. It's like, because Tarantino is, like, so niche with his references.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, that seems like such a broad one for him to go with. But, yeah, it would not surprise me. One of the things we talked about with all the Tarantino films, and I'm glad we finished up with this because I couldn't remember what there was. In every single Tarantino film, there's some conversation that happens around dinner. And, like, obviously there was that big scene at the table, but, like, they even did, like, because, like, Reservoir Dogs is that opening scene
like
where they're talking about, like,
a
virgin,
and
then Pulp Fiction, like, when they're in Jackrabbit Slims,
mm-hmm.
And then, like, Bastards, like, when they're in the restaurant, they're talking about, like, the film premiere, and then this one, when Calvin was having that, that explanation, like, the 1 in 10,000, like, the exceptional one that comes along, and, like, it's doing, like, that same rotating camera, like, it is in Death Proof, like, when they're talking about Vanishing Point in the diner.
Mm-hmm.
As, like, like it's a very specific thing that has made it into every single Tarantino film. And Feet to a lesser extent. Probably
mm-hmm.
probably the least extent in this movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely see some feet.
Oh. Actual feet.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, I noticed when they were up in the rocks, right? And
yeah.
Then, is that what you're talking about? Where, like, he is looking up at Dr. Schultz talking about the myth.
Oh, yeah, the myth of Brunhilde.
Yeah, and, like, I thought the camera angles were really interesting, where, like, he's talking down to him, and then they're looking up, and...
Oh, no, it's not the two I was talking about, but that's
But you're talking about... Okay.
No, I'm talking about...
So there's multiple dinner
shows. Yeah, there's several of them. So, yeah, it's interesting to see that. And then another thing that has come up, like, that's been present in Tarantino's movies, is that charismatic villain. It's a little bit harder to forget that Leonardo DiCaprio's is so terrible because he keeps saying the N-word. You're like, oh, right, no, this is the bad guy.
Yeah.
But, like, case in point, like, with Christoph Waltz's Hans Landa in Bastards, like, he is very charming and charismatic. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, this guy is a Nazi. I'm not supposed to root for this guy. And then, like, the same thing with, like, Kurt Russell in Death Proof. Like, initially, you're all like, oh, yeah, he's kind of creepy, but, like, he's very smooth. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, no, he's a fucking murderer.
Samuel Jackson and Jackie Brown.
Yeah, Jackie Brown, absolutely.
He's fucking cold-hearted killer, but it's just like, yeah, you know.
He's stupid, but, like, he talks, like, he swings you around with his bullshit. He convinces Beaumont to get into a trunk.
Right. Come on, man, get in that trunk.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool. And that was a huge...
But, I mean, you got to be, to get people to do terrible shit, man, you got to be able to do something. You know, absolutely. You got to be able to work some magic.
Just sway him a little bit.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, most terrible movies, like, your villain is so... Like, you're clearly supposed to hate your villain. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mark of just, like, a weak... story,
right?
Because, like, case what, like, you take a villain like Hans Gruber in Die Hard, like, you know he's the bad guy, but you're like, he's a smooth fella. Like, he definitely, like, I know he's a bad guy, but, like, I don't hate him. Like, so
I guess just as a appreciator of, like, movies and films and stuff, like, that guy Calvin Candy is so much a product of his environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what is supposed to be, like, shown, is, like, this is a man that was raised in this institution. Mm-hmm. And this is what you breed. You breed this very charismatic, you would almost say friendly person.
Yeah.
But then he's okay with black men killing each other.
For entertainment.
Like, yes, just like, and so it's those extremes of, like, oh, you got this, like, just because... You have, like, fucking terrible character doesn't mean you can't win people over. That's not the truth.
Well, I like that
everybody doesn't just know, like, oh, that's the guy that's bad. Like, no, man.
That's
he comes fucking in.
Yeah. Well, I like that you bring that up, because honestly, Calvin Candy and King Schultz, they're kind of like two sides of the same coin, because they're both very charming, very charismatic. Okay. Leo came up with a family who has owned slaves for a couple of generations now. Dr. King Schultz was raised in Dusseldorf, Germany, where slavery is not a thing. So he's not used to it. Like, he went to school, he became a dentist, he followed a profession where he helped people, and Calvin Candy just kept going into the family business of exploiting people and trading blood for profit and all that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting to see. Like, environment absolutely factors into how they turned out.
And it's like that scene where he talks about, like, the whole brain thing or whatever. But
the phrenology.
You got to fucking, like, all the stuff that they... Because it's like, oh, I wonder why the slaves never uprise. And you get this... bullshit explanation. That's just like... But it's just like, you gotta have all these things to make you be like, well... If you would think that these slaves will uprise, but they're not, so I guess this is okay.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing with that, like, too, like, whatever the science behind that, like, that's... I think that's more telling, because no black person fucking came up with that science.
No.
It was clearly, like, white dudes, because they were probably the only people...
Trying to justify it.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, this is why, like, it's okay that, like, there are slaves and everything, like, trying to justify
it. They love doing this stuff, man.
Yeah.
So they're built for it.
Yeah, it's totally fucked up. It's like, it's the kind of shit that you would see, like, on fucking neo-Nazi or, like, KKK pamphlets.
Right,
or, like, no, like, the black man is inferior because, like, science, man.
He's a dumber person.
Yeah, it's so
fucking
weird.
Yeah, this movie the writing was great at showing the different psychologies that can happen from it.
Yeah.
And, like, what was fucking present at the time. Like, yeah, there's marks in the back of their skull. They don't know.
Yeah,
happening.
Which could be, like, completely meaningless. Like, that could be a coincidence. Because how many fucking black skulls has Leonardo DiCaprio
cracked up
there?
The one that happened to be, like, born and raised in the midst of slavery.
And he does mention, like, in that first monologue, he mentions that phrenology is a hobby of his. But still, like, it's, I can't imagine there's a lot of phrenology going on in Mississippi.
Well, I mean, and then he says that, but he's a full of shit person.
Exactly.
Just a little,
yeah.
Like,
he
goes
made that
by
up.
A mom, right. Sure candy, but he doesn't know a little
goddamn
French.
Yeah,
French.
That, oh, man, that, yeah, that's
one of the oh,
stuff.
Nice catch.
Well, no, you don't want to.
That's a good catch.
You don't want to embarrass him.
Yeah,
you don't.
That's one of the funniest moments
yeah.
in there. Like,
that, also,
no, the funniest moment was the, where they're all about to raid the campsite, and they have the bags.
Oh, yes,
oh, that's so great.
I thought that was so good. It was so good at putting, because I love that he first showed them all coming at you, and it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're like,
and then
oh,
he breaks
fuck.
It up.
Like,
wow,
like,
how dumb
and then you're like, these motherfuckers are so stupid.
They're
right.
So stupid,
like, kinda,
ignorant. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? These are the people that are like, oh, black people are stupid.
No, right.
There's your master race.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
cut eye holes in their bags properly.
Jenny! Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like, no, that had to have happened. Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah. It happens today. Actually, that scene reminded me of where I fucking grew up. Like, one time, oh god, like mid-college, I went with a friend of mine to a house party. We were like in their garage and they had the most racist cartoons on the garage. And they're like saying nigger. And I'm like, I can't, this is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 2006. Like, what? This is insane that I had to go home. And, like, it reminded me, that scene, I was like, these fuckers are still alive. Like,
yeah.
They're still here. They're
oh, yeah,
still
absolutely.
That stupid.
Like, oh,
no,
yeah.
Marion's supposed to have a lot of, like,
oh,
a high amount of.
Man, that's
why I'm
gonna get the fuck out of there.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's,
yeah, you gotta get
hey,
out of
man,
there.
Man, I don't
well,
I do
like,
not fuck around with the woods, man.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Just how much stupidity. But it was nice to see. I felt like that was a retribution moment for me, at least, you know,
yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, these people are stupid.
Yeah,
like,
it's, hey, KKK, this is the dumb shit you dummies
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
I can't see. I love that Jonah Hill was in that.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was so interesting. Like, that's definitely one of the more interesting cameos it's been in.
Well, I think he was supposed to be in it more, and then I think, like, a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, yeah, it was
then
that, too.
He ended up doing that
well,
part.
Wait, why wasn't he in it?
I think, like,
he
probably
was doing Moneyball.
Or something, yeah.
Like,
it was, he wanted to, yeah, and it didn't kind of.
I also, what we're talking about, the charismatic villain, like, Don Johnson is Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Like, he's terrible, but he's very smooth.
Yeah.
He's got that
yeah.
Colonel Sanders
nah,
fucking
yeah.
mustache.
It fucking goes by Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Like, Big Daddy!
Like,
oh, God.
There was like a 1 or 2 year period where it was, like, very good for Don Johnson to be, like a second or third tier villain. Because he did that, right before that, he was one of the bad guys in Machete. And he was
oh,
great
yeah.
in fucking both of those. I was like, can we just cast Don Johnson
yeah.
as, like minor, like, henchman villains
yeah.
again? Because, like, he's really fucking good at it. And that Big Daddy was supposed to be Kevin Costner originally, too.
Okay.
And he fucking dropped
nice.
Out of it for whatever reason.
Mm.
Maybe to go work on that shitty Superman
Draft
movie.
Day, or, you know, Draft Day.
Oh.
Which is, that's terrible.
Oh, I can
He
imagine.
Was at least, you know, solid or competent in the Superman movie.
Yeah.
I didn't see Draft Day.
I don't know. Running into a tornado to save a
I mean, not
dog.
That part. I mean his performance, not the actuality of running into...
Yeah.
When you got Superman, as you said. Hey, man, they gotta make the story move forward.
Look, man, what they need to do is not make the goddamn story of Superman the goddamn story of Batman. It's like, no, he's... Superman's allowed to be a bright ray. Like, he's allowed... He's supposed to be the positive
yeah,
side of it.
Yeah.
Let Batman be the dark
yeah.
one.
The vigilante.
Oh, we're getting excited. That's a conversation for a whole nother podcast. I'm trying to think of some of the other things. Oh, I love that James Remar is a double
Sometimes.
Cast in this
yeah.
movie because he's
Wait,
one of he's one of the Speck brothers in the very beginning.
Okay.
Very
he's
beginning.
The one that gets shot in the head.
Yeah, he gets murdered.
The second one.
The first one.
The very first,
the first
one.
One.
Yeah, because he draws the shotgun on
yeah.
the guy, so he's the one that gets shot first by King Schultz. And then he is Butch, Calvin Candy's dude that wears the bowler hat all the time, that kills Dr.
Yeah.
King Schultz with the sawed off.
Yeah, the sawed off.
Put it together.
Yeah,
okay.
and then Django just draws his pistol and shoots him point blank in the chest.
Yeah.
Oh, God. How fucking great is that shootout scene?
Oh, it's incredible.
That's
yeah,
so
that's
good.
It's some great, it's a lot of great. I like how with the old style guns. You just the
yeah.
way that he's like, ah, and just.
Yeah, just fan
of him. You motherfucker. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love it too because, like the thing, like one of the huge myths of like westerns is like the idea of like the showdown, like in Hiding and everything. because, like, guns from that period are fucking terribly inaccurate as shit. Mm. So it was really, like, funny, like, watching that scene, like, and all the guys shooting at Django and just, like, winging, like, their friends, like, and they're already dead. But I was like, no, that's probably actually how that would have gone. It's just, like, and I loved that it was practical effects, too. Yeah. I was like, oh, thank you, Tarantino, for not using shitty CGI blood. Thank you for not being afraid of goddamn squibs in 2012.
Nah.
There was a thing about the shootout, though. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna bring it up.
Yeah, let's...
The lady shit, right? Like, why couldn't there have been at least one girl in that shootout who was like, I'm gonna pick up a gun, I'm a slave, and I'm gonna kill a motherfucker? There was no... The women in this movie, I think, uttered two words.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong.
The sister... Well, and, you know, maybe that's accurate, too. Like, where that's... They're playing their own role, but...
Yeah, even the white
women. And, you know, I have to say, like, Rick Ross being... Fuck Rick Ross, man. Fuck him. But...
I agree.
And that's the reaction I had when I heard him playing. But then I was like, well, that kind of makes me think about the fact, like, it was so fucked up at the time for women, too, in their turn... You see the psychology of women and, like, the white woman who is
a status figure.
Yeah, and she's like, here's this person I feel superior to who you're going to have sex with. Where it's like, why are you fucking standing up for this woman? You know, you saw all the psychology of that, too.
Yeah, women on women, crime, black on black. Like.
So much, yeah. It was really good at, but I like that they showed that. Like, it was good at showing the psychology that can come out of it. Yeah. But so Rick Ross is interesting, though, of the like, how... Okay, so you're a black man or a man in general, and you feel fucked over, so you're gonna fuck over the next thing that's in line that's a woman. Okay.
Yeah.
It just kind of... I don't know. That's how Rick Ross makes me feel today.
I think that... Are you, like, referencing the one thing with the whole Molly and the drink and the...
Yeah.
I will say, I think that happened post...
Yeah, that was actually...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
as far as... I mean, I don't know...
Even if it happened before, I still think it's kind of smart in the sense of, like, men have it hard, too. I get that. But you can see the... I don't know how... When there's that psychology of...
Well, the objectification.
You're trying to... Yeah. Like, where I think guys have a harder time being like, I'm not gay. Well, look at me. Fuck this woman. You know what I mean? Like, that trying to define your... trying to define your humanity by being superior over another human being. And, like, women are just going to be at the bottom of the line. And especially black women at the far bottom of the line. And then you see how black... There was even that one... The woman who was in there watching the fight who was... Clearly the most beautiful black woman.
She was the kept one.
Right.
But it's the whole principle of, like, and it goes...
That food chain
pure,
that happens.
Pure, like, survival. Because you have the... And they didn't really get into the fucking, like, the field slaves. You didn't really see much of it.
You don't bring
but you get the house slaves. And the house slaves, that's why you have people like Steven who are like, I'm in the house. This is a better position than being in the field. And it's at that point, it's just like, what makes me feel better about my position in this whole shit?
And you get it.
Yeah, and then so, like, you have, like, she's the, you see this, like, you see the other, they showed the other maid that was in there, and she was, like, fucking shaking up. But then you have this kept woman who's like, this is, I'm kept, and I'm used to this, and this is okay with me.
Yep.
And that's just how people are. Like, you got people that get into certain...
You see it today.
Yeah, no, you get people in certain positions... And you see terrible shit, and they're like, all right, I'm okay with it because I get treated better. But then you got other people that are like, this is fucked up, and I don't know if I can be around.
That's what I really liked about this movie is that it showed all of that. You know, like, that it did show these
different
aspects.
Well, and then the fucking dudes that have to do the Mandingo fighting, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, like,
God.
Just all these all this
that
different goddamn hoops.
That was hard to watch.
That's more, like, I'd say that and the fucking dog scene with D'Artagnan.
No, those are, like, and I'm glad that you have shit like that in there. Because it could have just been this whole Kill Whitey fest.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But I'm like, no, this is cool. And then they're like, oh, no, this is not cool. This is decidedly not cool.
And, like, it went deeper than just, like, whipping people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just that.
It was whatever we can to destroy these people. We put them in like, we do not give
the boxes,
a fuck
man.
About these people.
And then, that comes through in the movie. Like, it's not just like, oh, we enslaved them. It's like, no, like, this was, like, literally, like, a fucking subjugation of a fucking people
for, like, fucking centuries.
Yeah, exactly.
Centuries.
And I mean, and, like, can't you? I don't know how you can watch this movie and not see how that translates to today. And that's why I think it's such a fucking good film, is because it's like, everyone should see this, because all that shit you saw in history class, and then, can't you see how that's still happening?
That's,
like,
why
the psychology is still
And this
still
is
here.
Why I'm like a big, I like this movie, and, you know, regardless of what's like, you need, whatever it takes to get people to see, if you gotta have Tarantino make this stylized spaghetti western that has slavery as a backdrop to get white people, which is the majority of people in this country, to see, like, hey, this is some shit that happened.
Right.
And this is a reality, and let this, like, soak into your brain and really think about the fucking consequences of this shit.
And, and to do it in such a way, like, that it wasn't 12 Years a Slave. Do you know what I mean? Where in a way that anyone could watch it. Like, I feel like there's so many white people who won't go see 12 Years, because it's just too painful.
But
they'll
watch Django, because you know
But Django is at least...
Which is
it's
unfortunate,
it's,
but I mean, it's the reality of it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But it's at least a little more, like, he's hitting you, he's punching you. Like, you're feeling that. You're like... Wow, maybe you shouldn't say the N-word. Like, don't you see how this was used against an entire race of people?
No, and there's been a good trend in movies that deal. Like, you look at something like District 9, which fucking was like...
Oh, yeah, that was a great...
Apartheid. Like, that's fucking great. I just rewatched Lethal Weapon 2 the other day, and that was made, like, when that shit was going on, and, like, the backdrop of the movie is, like, dudes exploiting their diplomatic status, like, as Afrikaners, like, and... just being racist and, like, fucking using diplomatic immunity because they represented all the terrible shit to fucking get away with, like, the heroin trade and everything, which probably is a thing that happened during all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, like, I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's character is totally an Uncle Tom, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. So, he's totally that.
It just was an interesting... I don't know. I have been... I mean, I was a women's studies minor in college. Like, Black history is like I took classes on, but it's such a cool movie in terms of, like, I hope those people have racist fucking shit on their garage go see this film, or like, oh, it's Tarantino, and then they're like
oh god, I'm the bad guy,
shit, I'm an asshole,
yeah,
you know, like.
No, it's
people. That's the unfortunate, because I don't know, people are stupid, man.
Sometimes
you would just hope that, like, you know, that they get to, like...
But it's a step fucking forward, right? Maybe.
It's definitely... It's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword, because, like, I went and saw it, like, and it motivated, like, a lot of conversation with, like, some friends about it and everything. Then I also went and saw it, and then there were, like, white people, like, laughing every time they said nigger in the movie.
Really?
I was like, no, that word's not there as a punchline. Like, that's not why that word is in there. Like, I even feel guilty saying that word contextually, referring to its use contextually in a movie. Like, that's how terrible that fucking word is to me. Like, I think I've said it 3 times my entire life, and it's always been as, like, this word comes up in this text or in this
movie. Well, I mean, I've dealt with, like, the idea that, and it's just like, it is a word, like, fuck.
Yeah.
It's ugly. But that's a part of what... You can't, like, act like it's not a thing. You
know?
Can I ask you, how did black people feel about this movie? Like, was it...
The first time I saw this movie was with a friend of mine who was white, and then the second time I watched it was with some of my buddies. I mean, like, I don't... For the most part, you know, I just hang around with regular black people, so it's just, like, a movie that we like. We didn't have, like, a mass discussion about it, but there's times... I've seen, like, you know, Roots and fucking, you know, all these movies, and,
right.
you know,
yeah.
you have talks about it and stuff like that. I can't, like, really pinpoint... I know how I feel about it, and I feel like I got a decent amount of, like, fucking experience and, like, watching and... stuff.
It's interesting about, like, the retribution too. Like, that's how I felt. Like, when he, like, fucking kills everybody.
I remember in the movie theater, like, when he first gets the Brittle Brothers and shit, and I'm really being happy, like, seeing this dude, like, fucking whip this white man. It's this sketch that in the Chappelle Show, which is, like, big deal.
The Time Haters.
When they do the bloopers episode, and he's like, and when he's setting up this scene in the sketch, is where they go back in time to slave days, and, like, they shoot a slave owner, and they was like, if I had it my way, Chappelle says, we would shoot a slave owner every single movie.
Yeah,
I mean, every single show, and that's how it is, man, because, like, fuck,
Didn't they have to do some fucking song and dance with like the fucking Board of Standards?
They said they couldn't show the sets, it was specifically because of that scene. But then they showed it.
Yeah, you know.
So I mean, yeah, you got that. But then well, it's like, no, fucked up. They're like,
we can do a sketch where a white dude does like a fucking 60 Minutes piece and says the N word over and over again. But we can't have a black person shoot a slave on her.
Oh, that's too far.
I didn't
have slaves.
We can't have white supremacy.
I totally get why Chappelle fucking walked away from that show. Like, because it started out like really great as this platform to like address like a lot of the issues that like black people have to deal with. And then it turned out it was like, what if we had a family of white people? What if we changed, like, what if we called them the nigger family?
Yeah.
And like, and then, well, like, it became more stuff like that, and, like, it wasn't, like, the thoughtful, like, discussion that Chappelle wanted.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot of reasons why I'm a big, super big fan of Chappelle. And
yeah, he's
Chappelle's
great.
Show, and I've listened to, like, a decent amount of stuff, so it might be other reasons why it wasn't just, like, it beyond just like the actual content, because for the most part, like the seeing the Chappelle show as like a 14-13 year old kid, that was some liberating shit to see.
I had never
seen anything like that on television. The stuff that they talked about, and they really like address race as an issue, and they talked about it, and if you were a thoughtful person, you were able to like think about this shit and try to process it. But there's so many people who aren't thoughtful. They're just very just broad, you know what I'm saying? So like he had the sketch where it's just like the black white supremacists, and then you know he mentioned on the show you got people coming like, hey man, that's a funny sketch you did about them niggers, and it's like, no, you don't get it
because
you're not intelligent enough to dissect
what
I'm really trying to say with that.
Exactly.
And I mean that's the thing that I think that's one of the reasons why you have controversy with like Django Unchained or like movies like 12 Years a Slave, because it's so many people that aren't able to process it in an intellectual way to be like, this is, I'm showing this for a reason. I'm not just showing this just to be like, hey, watch black people get whipped and beaten for like an hour and a half. We're trying to say something about the past and what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like those people can't, like they see that race is a central theme or a point of it, and they just automatically, like they can't wrap their head around, like that's how you can.
And it's not even just black and white, it's just race in general.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's not. You know, people kind of get caught up in this whole like, oh, black people are like fucking, they haven't gotten over slavery or blah blah blah. But it's like, it's not just about black people. If you're like a person that cares about humans, like it's not just about all white people shitting on black people. It's about just people getting shitted on by somebody else.
Yeah, it's like it's shit like white people like fucking thinking it's okay to touch black people's hair without asking, like people thinking that it's a compliment when you refer to an Asian person as exotic, and
oh
like
my
how
God,
that,
yeah.
and how like that's a thing, or how like people say is like, oh well, I would never date like a fucking Indian person or something, and think that that's somehow not racist. Like, it'd be one thing if you say like, I would never date a person like who just wasn't a good person. Like when you lead off with, I won't date a person because they're brown, you're a fucking racist.
Nah, yeah.
Like that's how that works.
Yeah, it's no kind of ways around it. But I mean, like it's necessary to have stuff like this. And I like that Quentin Tarantino tackled this. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because it's a nice part of, because he, like, for as much flag as Quentin Tarantino gets, like, and this might just be just pure fun, whatever, people take it how it is, but he's employed a shit ton of black people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so like he could talk to them, but he's walked the walk, man. You don't fucking like Jackie Brown. You got fucking I said
Brown
it on the last
so
one. It's just like, it's a great movie, but you got the what means to have like this black woman as the lead of your movie?
Yeah, I'd say, who
when
else,
nobody else is doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no
shit.
One else is gonna throw Pam Grier in the fucking lead of a movie, and Tarantino did that shit.
Yeah.
Like, and it's fucking awesome, and like
and that pushes it. Mean it takes a while for progress to really happen, but you got to fucking, it's not gonna be this like floodgate open on the faucet, or you got to fucking
keep
going.
Absolutely,
you know. So maybe that one day, you know, some young black kid that watched fucking Django Unchained makes the ultimate slave movie that's like just brilliant.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And it might
the
be because Django that Django might have been the reason of that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm all a big, it's not about who so much as like what happens because of it.
Yeah.
And you know, just trying to push it forward, man. Progress.
Well, yeah, watching it, I didn't even think of Tarantino.
Nah.
Like, other yeah. than the soundtrack shit, because that's what he's so known for. But other yeah. than that, I was just like, this is a great
well,
movie.
Well, it's weird, too, because, like, because Bastards, it's all, like, stuff that would make sense. Like, it's all score.
Mm-hmm.
And then Django, like, has, like, a contemporary pop soundtrack
Not
for
good.
The most part, which was an interesting departure. But it works.
All right,
too,
I'm trying
though.
To be like, well, maybe you just like just black
oh.
helms throughout the movie.
Oh, there was a moment when during the shootout when some oh god, what is that song that starts playing? It's like a modern, it's a contemporary song, but for me that made that connection of like, okay, so he pulls out his gun and this contemporary song starts playing, and I'm
then
just
he
like,
starts whipping
don't
ass.
You see the connection here of like? How gangs can happen and just the class differences that are happening here and like how we're fucking pissed off. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can just see that anger and to have it in a contemporary context with music.
Yeah.
I thought was a really smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of those choices.
Like
were,
if he had played like a country western song, I would have
yeah.
been like, oh,
yeah.
so
well, like,
those
and
are
the
times.
Like the,
but he kind of it brought it back to today.
Yeah.
Like he's very smart at bringing you back
nah,
to today
yeah.
and like putting it in context
well,
without being really heavy handed
yeah,
with
yeah.
it.
And, well, and even the few points where they do use like more country or like a cowboy song type songs, it fits.
There's
like
some Johnny Cash in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like when they use Ain't No Grave, like that
yeah.
fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Or even like the Rick Ross
well,
song.
Yeah,
like,
well,
Coffin,
I mean, it's
like,
all
that's,
like
that's
for
combining
this is,
the
I don't.
Part.
Right. I guess it goes back to this. Like in my coming up, it wasn't like I don't. I know very few black dudes are like, man, Quentin Tarantino. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Even though he's done like these great movies that feature these great black
mm-hmm.
actors and
yeah,
stuff
absolutely.
Like that. It's not like a whole bunch of dudes where I'm from that was just like checking for like Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
That's some shit you got to seek out. So I mean, in a way, you have I won't say a compromise, but just like the Rick Ross song is just like a way to be like, oh man, like wait a minute, this you got this Rick Ross
relate
and people are, and
yeah.
it's like, all right, let me check this out.
Yeah.
Or you got somebody like fucking
well,
you
fucking
know,
John Legend's on
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah,
you got like whatever it is to kind of just bring the people. To get, like, fucking Leonardo DiCaprio as your main villain, I
yeah.
think it's just like, all right, you got this known pretty boy, kind of this suave guy, and we got him playing this just wretched, nasty, disturbing
yeah.
fucking slave
right.
owner. And it brings people in that you might not have usually come and see a movie like this.
Yeah, because they're
right.
like, oh, yeah. No.
Oh, Leonardo, I like Leonardo DiCaprio.
No,
yeah,
I,
like
yeah.
I,
was
15 I saw The
so.
Departed, and then you see, like, oh, wow, this is a Departed.
Yeah, yeah right. I think well, that's I think he's so good with music in that way, and that's what I'm
oh,
always been such
one of the
a
best.
Fan
like,
of.
I think Tarantino
it,
and the Coen brothers probably do like music the best.
And well, because I feel like making art, you don't want it, you don't want something to stand out. You want it all to be very cohesive. But he breaks the mold in that where he'll put a song in there where you're like, oh, is that fucking Rick Ross? That's Rick Ross playing
yeah.
it. You know, like he kind of breaks you away from it where. But not too much.
But yeah,
I, he's so
it's
smart
never
with
not
it.
That
it's
takes
never,
you out of the mood.
Yeah,
out.
Where you're like. Get it.
Yeah.
I kind of get it.
And
yeah,
even
sense.
That song is like more to like because it's got like a kind of westernish kind of sample to
and
it.
And the beat,
yeah.
so it's just
yeah.
like the melt. It's like the melting.
I guess
of
I mean
the,
more whatever
yeah.
song plays during the shootout. I was like, that's
yeah,
smart.
That song's
that's
great.
Really
yeah,
smart.
Like that's a really kind of natural seeming choice. Be a completely different scene if Bodies by Drowning Pool came on.
yeah,
and
right.
And was blazing. I was like, nope. I this is too much.
yeah, you can just you pick up the relation to it today.
Yeah.
When did this take place? 1858?
Yeah. Well, it started 1858.
Yeah,
so realistically, by the time the movie ended, yeah, it would have been probably 59
right
or 60. Because, like, they spend an entire winter together bounty hunting and shit. And then traveling.
But
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how long
yeah.
it takes to travel from Texas to Tennessee on horse. Probably a while.
A while. Especially when you're charging through snow.
Yeah,
right.
and shit. And doing your gunplay yeah. practice up in the mountains and shit.
Murdering
snowman
dicks.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Frosty the Snowman.
I hate you, Frosty.
I'm gonna shoot you in the dick.
Beer bottle dong. Cool. I think that's a good point to kind of wrap it up and do the outro a bit, unless you guys aren't planning anything.
No,
I,
good stuff.
Yeah.
And Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
She's so good. It's
a fucking
yes.
tragedy she
it,
wasn't in this
yeah.
movie.
But she's
she
like,
good.
She makes, she, like, all the fucking... I mean, you got a movie. I always take movies for what they are. You
yeah.
only got so much amount of a time to
exactly.
tell a certain
right.
story. As long as you do your best, to, like, within, I feel like that's what he did. And, like, it wasn't like just Kerry Washington was, like, fucking...
She wasn't like, eye candy.
Like, she fucking was utilized. Like, when you see her fucking get out the fucking hot box and they throw that water on her, you see her shake. You see the fear. Like, it's palpable.
Yeah.
And you feel it. And,
she absolutely serves a purpose.
Without
story.
Even talking, like, she's able to
communicate
so much.
She could just be a face actor. Like, she doesn't even need to talk.
She hardly has any dialogue.
No,
yeah. Like, I think the longest she talks is the fucking... The longest she talks is the fucking scene where she speaks German with Christoph Waltz.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but great acting.
Cast is fucking top-notch across
the board. I'm glad. I'm like, man, fucking, I remember coming up, and you just see all these, like, I would see black movies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see, like, you know, so I would see, like, Friday.
What do you mean? Okay.
Or, like, you know, Day of Presidents, these movies where it's, like, legit, it's very few white people. So it's just, like, black movies is antithesis of what just regular modern cinema is. And you see all these great actors, and I would know about these people. Like, I remember seeing Kerry Washington, like, years before she became popular.
Yeah.
And so now for her to be, like, in this movie like this and be able to demonstrate, like, just her.
Yeah.
It's just progress, man.
Yeah. This would have been, I think this would have been a season or two into Scandal, too.
Yeah. Now,
at that point.
Yeah.
I just made the connection in my brain that this is the second time Samuel L. Jackson and Kerry Washington have been in a movie that's revolved around race together.
What's their first
one? The first one being Lakeview Terrace.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is,
is
such a fucking weird movie. Like, I feel like it's trying to tackle issues, and it's so just over the top, and it's just...
Isn't that interesting that something so important and, like, that makes so much sense to the people who are doing it can get so fucked up? They can get so muddled in trying to explain it.
Yeah, well, it's such an unnatural movie because, like, it almost feels like the MRA equivalent of, like, the white racism thing, because the entire point of that movie is that Samuel L. Jackson plays a cop whose wife is killed by a drunk driver who's white. So he fucking hates his new neighbors, who is Kerry Washington, who's married to the very white Patrick Wilson. And it's just, like, him, like, just having this very unnatural anger reaction to it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the... Because it's Neil LaBute did it, the same guy that did, like, the Wicker Man remake and some other just god-awful fucking movies, but it's, like...
Yeah, he just might be...
Yeah, it's, like... Well, and every time Sam Jackson does something, it's fucking hilarious. Like, me and my friends went and saw it because it was goddamn funny. And one of the lines literally in the movie is Ron Glass, who played Shepherd Book in Firefly and Serenity, where he's talking to Patrick Wilson about Samuel Jackson's character, and he says, "You see, there is an issue. He has the color card on his side, and that color happens to be blue, because he's a fucking cop."
No.
And it's so bad, and there's so much shit dialogue like that in that movie. I was like, no, man, you're not selling me. White racism is not a thing. I'm sorry. Like, white people.
We're not. Progress hasn't happened enough for black people for us to make these, like, these type of movies.
Look, man, I hate to fucking go back to The Wire, but fucking Officer Walker, the black cop in The Wire, is more an example of, like, black people being racist because it's to fucking black kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's more believable in 5 minutes of an episode of The Wire than an entire movie of Samuel L. Jackson saying, "I don't like white people because they ran over my wife." As, like, nah, maybe you just hate drunk drivers. Like, that could have just as easily been a fucking Vietnamese dude. So, all right, cool. Let's wrap up with our favorite moments, Jackie.
Oh, no, too soon. Favorite moment. Hold on. Let me think about it.
All right, we'll come back to you. Kamari?
The whole movie.
I think all the retribution moments... Okay. When he shows up in that blue suit...
Yeah.
And he's like, that's
crushed,
what you chose to wear?
That
in a crush moment.
Suit.
Yeah, that was so good. And that he fucking whips those assholes in it. It's so good.
Oh, man, that's so great.
I think that might have been my favorite.
And then you guys want to see something? And then he picks up the gun
and shoots the slaves. After he kills the Australian guys, Tarantino's cameo guy.
Yeah,
guys,
the Quentin Dick
scene. And then the other slave's, like, looking at him, and you see that moment of, like...
Triumph.
That could fucking be me.
You know what I mean?
Revolution starting.
Yes.
I love that.
I don't know who that character was there. Because they show him. They show
a decent amount
of close-ups of him.
Yeah.
Because like, he was slavering.
He's the one that he threatens.
Yeah, he threatens him. He's like, and then, but this one was like, oh man, it's this pride. Like, oh man, this dude is.
Pride. That is exactly what it was.
This dude was running a long time, man. He was. he had to be an asshole to get in there and fuck these white
any
people.
Sort of revolution. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's yeah. good. Well, like in his eye, you just saw it, and like you, and you know, it's right before the Civil War. Like yeah. you see it taking root.
Well,
like,
I mean, it's that it's that idea, and I feel it just as a black man is when you see another black person do something that you in your mind felt was unachievable.
Yeah,
and it's really like it's almost like a mind explosion. Like, oh wow, I can really do this. Like, this is a possibility, yeah. and it yeah. means. Like, you hold on to that. Like, yeah. it's like a fucking, like, your happy thought. Like, oh, man, like, especially then for that context. Like, yeah. I'm in this fucking cage. I'm about to go to the worst slave place on the earth. I mean, in the country. Yeah. And now I just got my chance to be free by this black man who's yeah. fucking murdering a whole bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, shit. The possibilities are endless now.
Well, I love it because the movie...
I can do that?
The movie is almost bookended. By that same...
Yeah.
It opens up with King Schultz killing one Speck brother and then tossing the slaves to Kiesman. Like, you can save that guy.
Do whatever you
or
want.
You can kill him and
bury
him.
Oh, God, when they shut... Oh, and they're beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah,
they
oh, man. The, yeah. Those, like, every time they like they throw off their fucking like, shawls and shit, that's such a badass shot. Like, it's so it's like just this clear visual representation. It's like... They're not like 100% free yet, but like they're casting
like
something off, and that's
yeah.
fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then yeah, like and then you get the dude, the slaves at the end with the LaQuint Dixie Mining Company, and it's like cage doors open. I guess where we go here,
yeah.
there's horses. Where we go yeah, from
horses,
here is on us now. We're gonna make our future now, not
right,
these fucking Australian dudes.
Nah.
Yeah, but then, oh, God, when I saw that, though, I was like, where are they going to fucking go? They're about to go die.
No, you always know where they go, but you don't know.
But yeah, it's cool. It's cool that they're giving the opportunity.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, because, like, it's, like, a lot of people, like, cracked, especially the website, like, they've done, like, they do, like, a lot of pop culture videos, and one of the more recent ones they did was, like, how all the Tarantino movies, like, clearly take place in the same universe, and there's a lot of, like, evidence to tie it together, like, with, like, the Vega brothers, like, with Mr. Blonde and Vince Vega from Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Fruit Brute cereal. Just, like, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And, like...
Lee Donowitz.
Yeah. Donowitz
from
is
True
Lee,
Romance.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Donnie Donowitz and Lee Donowitz. And then, like... And, obviously, like, it takes place in a world with an alternate history, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hitler gets fucking gunned down in a
yeah.
theater.
Right.
And
that's what...
I want to see a Civil War movie from Tarantino. And, like, see what happens in the wake of everything that goes down in Django.
Like, well, that's the one freeing thing, like, people, you know, you could say, like, well, it's not a historically accurate movie, but it's
who
like,
gives
it's,
a shit?
It's a fucking movie. It's a movie. That's what the that's what you have with fiction. You can
yeah.
fucking make it whatever you want, but, and the goal with fiction is to talk about what's
yeah.
actually happened.
Exactly.
Using it, you know.
Well, there's a fucking great Philip K. Dick book. It's called The Man in the High Tower, I think, and basically the entire premise of the book is, what if Japan had won World War II? And it's the world, like, in the aftermath
yeah.
of that. And it's really fucking good. And, like, it's an interesting look at, like, what
yeah.
happens when you do tamper with, like, the fabric of history. When you and, like, and Marvel has done a shitload of, like, what-if comics,
yeah.
which are... Some of them are very silly. It's like, oh, what if Spider-Man had saved Gwen
yeah.
Stacy from the bridge or whatever? Or what if Wolverine had gotten the Venom suit or something stupid like that? Or what if... The Punisher hated guns. Just really dumb shit. It's a very silly series. But every now and then they do like a really cool one, like they do one where like Punisher kills the Marvel Universe because superheroes are like his family gets killed in a superhero battle, like at the end of the Avengers type thing,
okay.
instead of gangsters. So he just kills superheroes.
That's interesting.
And, yeah, it's interesting to see like what people do and like, yeah, we've got canon over here, but what if we play in the
Let's
sandbox a little? Let's see
yeah.
what we can do. You gotta give me an answer that's not a cop out the entire movie.
Nah,
favorite moment.
My favorite moment is the probably the dog fighting scene. Is the same word or not the dog?
The
Mandingo? The D'Artagnan guy in the fucking tree and when he
Why?
Gets out. Just because like
it's
it just
brutal.
It shows
it's so painful.
It shows a lot. I mean, I don't. Like I'm aware like of what the fuck happened.
Yeah, it's
not
like you're sitting there
like
getting hard over it.
And like it's just like man, this
yeah.
is fucking heavy. Like you got this dude, I don't want to fight no more. And the reason he was fighting is because what the fuck I got to do to live?
Yeah,
it's
like
right.
what the fuck I got to do to live? And it's like, and then he's just I can't do it no more. And just like every all that all you see all these like fucking like these people like just trying to sustain. Like, you got Django over here, and he doesn't want us to see this. He doesn't want to be a part of this, but it's like, I gotta fucking survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just see that, the reality of that. And I really feel like that's like one of the real moments of the movie, and it's just, it sticks with you.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's a brutal scene.
I mean, like, as much as I love seeing white people get murdered.
Yeah, but that whole scene, like, that, you're absolutely right. Like, that, I think that conveys the tone of everything the best of the entire movie. I think those are all, like, solid examples. For me, it's that, like, last, like, 8 minutes when Django goes back to Candyland. And, like, just fucking guns down everybody.
Blows,
like,
that shit the fuck.
I did a fist pump right when he shot Billy Crash and said, "The D is Silent Hill." because I love Walton Goggins, the actor who plays Billy Crash. Like, he's Unjustified and he's a great actor. But yeah, like, just Django is so fucking cool, like, in that final scene.
Yeah.
That was, like, Django's bride moment, like, that last stretch, where you're always like, man, this character is so fucking cool.
What's that Nicki Minaj song where she's, like, the Django? What is she? I'll find it. You can link to it. And she says it like, "I'm the Django," and I'm like, "The D Silent Bitch." Anyway,
nice. Cool. All right. Well, Kamari, thank you much for coming on. Yes. Especially because
I'm glad I didn't know you were coming, and I was like, "Yeah, that'd be awesome."
Well, and also because I don't want to put another podcast in the world where it's just white people talking about
Black people. We're like,
black people stuff.
We get it. This is bad.
We fixed racism on our podcast.
Quentin Tarantino solved everything.
Yeah, he fixed it. And the guy did crash, guys. Racism's over. Here you go. All right, Kamari, thank you so much for coming on, guest hosting. No. Jackie, thank you for coming out and helping send out the Tarantino Month Strong. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This? Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Feel free to rate us, leave us a review. Helps us out with boosting the signal for the show. Make sure to like the page on Facebook. Send any questions, comments, concerns to the show to How Have You Not Seen This Podcast at gmail.com. And we'll catch you next time.